Hey guys, did you know that you can subscribe to the Investor Coaching Show podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts? When you subscribe, you get notifications with new episodes so you never have to go looking for an episode or worry about what you've missed. So if you're on your phone or computer, go ahead and pause the episode real quick and become a subscriber. If you're not sure how to subscribe, go to paulwinkler.com/how-to-subscribe, all one word, how to subscribe, for instructions, or click the link in the show note. Now let's get started.
Welcome to the Investor Coaching Show, a podcast to help you get an insider's view of the financial world and escape common investment traps. We look at the financial news of the day and help you make sense of it so you can relax about money. And here's your host, Paul Winkler.
All righty. Back here, Investor Coaching Show, Paul Winkler. PaulWinkler.com. PaulWinkler.com. For questions, it's paulwinkler.com/question. You got something on your mind, you want to run it by me, by all means, that's how you send a question. Then I answer on here, and then we send you the segment so that you hear the answer, just in case you don't happen to be listening when I talk about it. One question came in that was asking about Roth IRA. Can a Roth IRA be used to purchase Bitcoin? Okay, so Roth IRA, you take post-tax money. In order to contribute, you have to have earned income, number one. And then you can go and put money in a Roth or a Roth 401k if you have that option at work. Sometimes you have Roth 401ks, which allow you to take money that you've already paid taxes on, stick it in the 401k plan. Now, if you have matches, that's matched with pre-tax money. You know, the employer matches because they want the deduction. You know, so that's the way that works. Now, with a Roth, it grows without tax. You don't have to pay taxes on the gains. And then when you pull the money out in retirement, you don't have to pay taxes at that point in time. And as of now, it doesn't affect Social Security taxation either. So what about using Bitcoin in a Roth IRA? Hey, you know, if this thing grows to $1 billion, it's all tax-free money. It's going to be awesome. And you know, you're seeing fund companies falling over themselves, making predictions about this. You know, I talked about this last week where, you know, Fidelity was actually making this big prediction on a huge increase in value. And I was just going, oh gosh, fund companies, you shake your head and go, do they have like not an ounce of discipline? Just amazing to me how fund companies get away with the stuff that they do. And, you know, so can you do it? And that's part of the answer. Yeah, you can do just about anything. A mutual fund company will let you shoot yourself in the foot all day long. They the merits of the investment, be doggone. I remember an academic one time, and you know, he was standing on the stage and somebody asked him, why did this mutual fund company come out with a commodities fund? That was the question. This guy is a Nobel Prize winning economist. Why did they come out with this commodities fund? And, you know, you look at most mutual fund companies and the huge ones, look at them. They have commodities funds in their portfolios. Commodities are not investments. You don't have a cost of capital. It goes up and down with supply and demand. Now, they not only did they come out with a commodities fund, they came out with it after commodities had jumped in value. Because there was this panic in the stock market and people decided to start buying commodities. They drove the price of commodities up, you know, because of their panic. And it was the greater fool theory. Who's willing to pay more for this thing? And they keep driving the price up and up and up. And then all of a sudden people notice that the price of something has been going up because the media, the financial media, how great they are. They go and report to you what just happened yesterday and act like it's going to continue to happen in the future. And then what happens is they come out with this commodities fund, and he asks, you know, why did they do this? And this academic looks down to the ground and he goes, demand. I mean, it was basically it. You know, there was a huge, huge investment management firm that literally just put pressure on the mutual fund company to come out with a commodities fund. That was it. The investment advisor said, hey, we want to have this in our portfolio. And they're like going, well, we either lose you as an investment advisor recommending our funds, or we give you what you want. regardless whether it's any good for the client or not. That's exactly what they did. You know, so if you look at commodities, and Bitcoin is just a commodity, it goes up and down based on supply and demand. You know, how much supply is there? Is there a limited supply of something? What's the demand for it? And if there's more demand, then the price is higher because somebody else wants it, they're willing to pay for it. And the person says, hey, if you really want this so bad, I'm going to make you pay up. And that's what happens. Person selling it gives it to them at a higher price. And then, you know, of course, you got the Bitcoin mining. I'll talk about that in a second. It's just that's really interesting. So basically, Bitcoin is mined. It's, you know, you're solving an algorithm. You're solving a computer problem. And the algorithms are pretty complicated and hence take a lot of computing power to actually solve. You know, so what's happening is you have computer power, and what's the computer powered by? Electricity, right? And a lot of the countries producing the most Bitcoin are really, they're using all kinds of outdated technologies to produce electricity, which are dirty technologies. So it's really interesting because a lot of younger people are really into this thing, and they don't realize that, they don't even think about it, I don't think, that they're actually buying something. I guess not just younger people, there's older people as well, but a lot of younger people are very environmentally conscious, right? So they're trading something, Bitcoin, a commodity in this case, that is messing up the environment. And you think, wow, okay, which side of the coin do you really stand on when it gets down to it? But what's happening is that China's been cracking down like crazy. That's been making the news. And you got regulatory threats, you know, governments, U.S. government talking about regulating these cryptocurrencies. And there are thousands and thousands. There are 6,500 of them out there as of late last year. 6,500 cryptocurrencies. I looked it up this week. And you got the Fed and other central banks all around the world coming up with their own digital currencies because they don't want to be left out. They want to be able to have something that they can have some control over. If you've got a cryptocurrency like Bitcoin or Ethereum or, you know, any of those other ones out there that they can't control, well, they don't necessarily like that much. So that's what makes me really suspect, because if they decide to come out with all kinds of regulations, it's not going to be necessarily in favor of those ones that are trading like crazy out there like Bitcoin, in my humble opinion. And, you know, if you look at, you know, how this is often used out there, black markets, and a lot of people are going, hey, wait a minute, people are buying and selling illegal things with these cryptocurrencies, and how does the government look at that? Well, not too favorably many times. You know, you got theft of electricity to mine this stuff. You know, there were these things. I remember this story a while back where they found that these people were stealing electricity to run their computers to mine Bitcoin. And you just go, wow. And this isn't unprecedented. We see this kind of stuff all the way through history. And, you know, the one I like to always point to is the Bitcoin, the tulip bulb craze in comparison to Bitcoin back in the 1600s, where they, you know, people were driving up the price of tulip bulbs and kept driving it up, and somebody would pay more for a tulip bulb, and then they would variegate the tulip bulb. They would do something to make it a little bit more unique, and people would pay a higher price for that new tulip bulb that was out there selling. And then in Holland, and they kept driving the prices up and up and up, and it got to a point where somebody says, oh my goodness, they're paying the price of a house for a tulip bulb. This is crazy. We got to stop this. People came to their senses. It all crashed and became worth next to nothing. And this is not, you know, can you go and do, you know, a Roth IRA and something like this? Yeah, you can. But good grief, would I ever do it? No way. It's just basically gambling, in my humble opinion. And I don't gamble with my retirement portfolio. It's not something that I would ever do. So anyway, that's my opinion regarding all of this. All right. Let's change gears now. So there was an article, I alluded to it a little bit earlier, what Vanguard's price cut means for everyday investors, and talking about how they had announced a price cut for their fleet of target date retirement funds this week. And, you know, here's the thing about that. Okay, so you got this fund, and you think, I'm really diversified. I've got a total stock market fund, and I got a total international stock fund that's in there, Total International Stock Market Fund. Now, 54% of that portfolio in the 2050 target date retirement, if you're going to retire in 2050, but just buy this fund, that's it, and you don't have to do anything else. 54% of that is in the Total Stock Market Fund, according to Morningstar, as of this week. 36.58% is in a Total International Fund. Now, if you look at the Total Stock Market Fund, which is 54, that's the bulk of it, you got 3,271 stocks. You think, wow, I'm really well diversified. 10% of the money is in just two companies. 10% of the money is in just two stocks. So 0.06% of the portfolio holds over 10% of the money. Then you look at the international fund. It's, you know, the same thing. You got these two portfolios very, very dominated by the big companies. Now, it's not as bad in the international because you've got more stocks in there, but you got literally 9.56% of the portfolio in 10 stocks. So you take the top 20 stocks out of literally over 10,000 stocks in there. So 0.18% of the holdings account for almost 20% of the portfolio. Now, why does that matter? Well, look at the companies that were the big companies in the Dow, the most important companies of their time in the 1930s. Allied Chemical, American Can, American Smelting, American Sugar Refining, Texas Gulf Sulfur Company, Texas Company, Victor Talking Machine, Nash Motors, are some of the companies that dominate these portfolios right now that you have your retirement money in going to be that important in the future? It's a question you have to ask yourself. Hey, this is Paul Winkler. Hope you enjoyed today's edition of the Investor Coaching Show. If you want to learn more about what we do, go to our website, paulwinkler.com. You can watch some of the videos there, and if you're not already a client, you can set up a free initial consultation. Until next time, I'm Paul Winkler, reminding you that I believe that more educated investors are more confident investors, and confident investors are more successful investors. Have a great one.